This is the Side Hustle Show with Nick Loper, episode 61, quitting a 50K a year job to sell stuff online.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. This is episode 61, quitting a $50,000 a year job to sell stuff online. My guest, Ryan Grant, is going to walk us through how he got started selling online as a side hustle, how he grew that business to the point of quitting his job, and how he plans to grow and expand it from here. Now, Ryan and I connected on Twitter following Travis Scott's guest post on his Amazon FBA success, and I like this site, onlineSellingExperiment.com. Definitely check it out. So I invited him on the show to share the goods. So speaking of Twitter, be sure to check out the Side Hustle Nation blog next week for a full breakdown on how I've grown my Twitter following by more than 10x over the course of the last year, and kind of raising the question whether or not that actually matters. Other news and updates before we get into it. One quick 5-star iTunes review. This one's coming in from Fit Marriage. He says, always learning something new from these side hustlers. Nick does a great job interviewing his guests and getting to the nuts and bolts of how they're making it happen. That's what it's all about. And we're getting back to a nuts and bolts episode this week after a more high level one last week with John Acuff. And with that, let's get Ryan on the line. We'll get right into it. Hey, Ryan, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Now, Ryan Grant is here. Thank you for coming on. He's the creator of OnlineSellingExperiment.com, where he shares his exact financial results from his Amazon and eBay sales. He's a former side hustler who's turned his part-time business into a full-time gig when he quit his job in September 2013. He's made the leap, baby. I love it. So, Ryan, how do you get started in this business? How did you get started selling online?
So I'm 25 now. I got started back when I was about 18, just finishing up high school. I would just see things at garage sales, thrift stores, occasionally at retail stores that just appeared to be quite a bit cheaper than they maybe should be. So I would look them up on eBay or Amazon and just notice a decent price discrepancy. And then I tried out a few of those things. And that's kind of when I got started. And then I would say when I really got started was after my first semester of college. I had my textbooks that I needed to sell, and I saw how little the college bookstore was willing to pay me for the books and how much I could get for them if I sold them myself on Amazon. So after
such
I sold,
a scam, isn't it? I hate the textbook thing.
Yeah, that's a real scam. But once I sold those books and just saw how quickly they sold, and it kind of opened my eyes to the opportunity of the Amazon marketplace and just being able to reach millions of buyers with any item I have for sale. So that's when I guess I would say my eyes were really opened. And then I was doing it part-time from about 18 to 24 when I quit my job. And then I started full-time.
So when we're saying part-time, how many hours a week are you talking?
Sure. So at various points, it would be up to maybe 10 hours a week. At times it would be nothing. It would be just, I would have some items listed for sale. I wouldn't make any extra effort to go out and buy additional items. It kind of just depended on what else I was working on at the time, how much time I had available, if I felt like going to look for stuff. So it was mainly in the 0 to 10 hours a week range for the bulk of that part-time time.
It sounds very labor intensive. Like I'm gonna go to the garage sales. I'm gonna go to the thrift stores and try and find stuff that's undervalued, right? It seems like that's gonna take I'm never and maybe I'm unique in this. I'm very rarely just like passing by a Walmart or like driving around town looking for garage sales. Like, did you make a concerted effort to like seek these out and get there early to find the best stuff?
Sometimes I would. And it absolutely is effort. It's, and especially right away, because you don't know exactly what you're looking for. But as you do it more, you kind of know what items to look for. And that helps. But I would make thrift stores, I don't really make a concerted effort to go there early or anything, but I would I would stop by on a, if I was driving by. It's not, it's when I do this, it's a bit different than if I'm going to one of these stores for personal use. It's kind of like the thrill of the hunt in trying to find a deal to make money off of, as opposed to going in looking for some item that I might need or want.
Okay, gotcha. No, I don't want to make it sound like, hey, you know, we don't like hard work, because this is, you know, it's all about the hustle, right?
Right.
But this is definitely not a passive income business, because there is some labor involved to go out and find these items. And you mentioned real briefly, oh, I didn't know what kind of products to look for. So can you touch on that a little bit? What's what have you found the most success with aside from textbooks?
Yeah. So lately I've been doing really well with toys and games, and then I've also sold quite a bit on Amazon in the health and beauty categories and grocery categories. So those are a little bit unique and not something that people would expect right away. But toys have been my number one category since I started full time.
You can sell groceries? Like you ship them like food?
Yeah, you can.
I guess like canned goods or something?
Yeah, it's all non-perishable items. So some specific or semi-specific items are like candy, coffee, like salad dressing type stuff, condiments, things like that. And then, so one note there is Amazon just changed their approval requirements for the grocery category and then the health and beauty and health and personal care. So you now, if you're a brand new seller, you have to apply to sell in these categories. And if you were currently selling them and had a good enough metrics, you get to stay in. But that will be a change for new sellers.
Okay. Do you think it's hard for new people to break in? They just kind of want to cut down on, like, you know, I don't know, expired foods or stuff that's like, you know, not up to the standards on health and beauty.
Yeah, I just think they have a decent number of rules, and I don't know if they were necessarily being followed by some of the newer people. Not just because they didn't read the rules, or I don't know, they just want to really crack down on anything people are going to put on their own skin or body or anything they're going to consume, because there's some liability risk there.
Definitely. Ultimately, it'll all fall back on Amazon for sure.
Right.
So, okay. So you go to the store, you're looking for toys and games, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the process look like on a scouting mission?
Sure. So let's say, usually I'll plan to go to a couple stores on any given trip. But let's say I'm going to a Target, because most people have those in their area. So, mm-hmm. The first stop is basically walk in, grab a cart, and then I'm going to look through most of the clearance end caps. And basically anything on those end caps that has a clearance sticker, and I'm looking for stuff that's 50% off, 70% off, things like that. Basically, I'll look those up on a scanning app that I have on my phone that gives me all of the current Amazon price information, and use that to basically decide if it's worth buying to resell or not. And then in addition to the clearance, I'll also look at items that the store just has on sale. Sometimes there'll be 50% off sales or 25% off sales, just because the percentage off doesn't always correlate to profits on Amazon. Sometimes items that are regular priced are, they have enough margin to sell on Amazon. Other times a 50% off sale, Amazon will still be selling it cheaper. So there's not really hard and fast rules on the sales and clearance stuff. It's kind of scan all the clearance and sales stuff, but you can't really just go in and say anything that's 50% off at Target is going to be worth buying to resell. You actually have to.
Yeah, because a lot of times Amazon is discounting it already. So what's the app that you're using?
I'm using an app called ScanPower. It's I also use Profit Bandit as well. Both of these now are subscription based, and you pay. Profit Bandit's $9.99 a month, and ScanPower is $39.99 a month, and it has a little bit better information, a little more reliable, in my opinion. So both of those, I'm not going to say you can't do it without one of these apps, but it would be pretty challenging to have this information quickly without one.
Because Amazon has their own free app, but I've heard it's pretty crappy.
Yeah, they have one. So they actually just came out with one for iPhone called the Amazon, or I think it's called Seller Mobile by Amazon. I haven't been able to try it yet because I'm an Android user, but it's specifically designed for sellers, and it could be a really good option, I think, for a lot of people.
Okay.
If you're an iPhone user.
Yeah, if you're on the iPhone.
Right.
Okay, so you scan the thing and it says, so you're looking specifically for items 50 to 70% off, but even then, mm-hmm. not all of those are going to be a hit. Right. So you got to see what this is selling for and what kind of spread are you looking for in between your acquisition cost and the I guess the going rate on Amazon.
So usually I'm looking for, after all profit and fees, I'm looking for at least a 50% return on my investment. So if I'm spending 10, I'm going to probably want to sell it for about 20. And then after all fees and shipping costs, I'll make about $5 profit. And I guess that's like my general guideline, but there'll be, if there's an item that I think will sell very quickly, I will take a lower return on my investment. And if, on the contrary, if there's an item that will take a very long time to sell, say 6 months or more than a year, then I would be looking to get a significantly higher return on my investment.
Okay. Does the app tell you stuff like turn rate, like how fast an item is selling?
Yeah. So what they tell you is a sales rank, which is basically a snapshot that shows you how long it's been since the item is last sold. So it's not a guarantee the item will sell again, and it's not necessarily it's a good indication of how long it will take an item to sell again, but it's not completely reliable. So,
okay, what's a good sales rank to look for?
I'm in most categories, I'm looking for a sales rank of a number less than 100,000.
Okay.
And if I'm seeing the numbers less than about 25,000, that's things that I expect to sell very quickly. And by very quickly, I mean within probably a couple weeks to less than a month, almost for sure.
Okay, but under 100,000, this thing is going to be out of your inventory within a couple months?
Yeah, that's pretty much the timeline I've been seeing on most of my items.
Okay, the lower the number, the faster it will move, in theory.
Exactly.
Okay. So you mentioned, okay, so there's a cost to buy these apps, and is there a cost to sign up as a seller on Amazon?
You can sign up for free. You can sign up for free.
Okay. But you say that like there's an advantage to doing it not for free, or they have a premium version.
Yeah. So when you sign up for free, you get charged an extra dollar fee for every item that you sell. And then there's a professional seller account. Okay. So I'm going to step back here. You need a professional seller account to use either Profit Bandit or ScanPower. So that's one of the catches.
Okay.
The other part is, you get charged an extra dollar fee for every item you sell if you're not what they call a professional seller. And to be a professional seller, you pay a $40 monthly fee to Amazon. But then that $40 fee per month takes away a $1 fee on each item you sell. So it's a really good deal once you sell 40 or more items a month.
Okay,
because you're actually saving money.
So if you want to use the apps and you think you're going to sell more than 40 items per month, then it makes sense to do that. And is that an attainable thing for somebody doing it part-time?
I would say that's definitely attainable for somebody doing it part-time.
Okay. Yeah, it's a pretty low startup cost,
right.
Just in terms of like the initial setup. Now, I guess the other component of the startup cost would be the inventory. Now, mm-hmm. I will, you know, like you said, I will trade $10 or $15 all day, every day, you know, for the rest of time.
Right.
But there's a limit to how much of those $10 investments I could feasibly make or that I would be comfortable making, you know, right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
How much, I guess, would, I don't know, like what did you start with? Like, you know, doing these garage sales and things, like what did you invest initially?
Yeah. So when I just started, I didn't really set aside a specific amount. Like when I was doing this part-time, I was probably, realistically, I was probably starting with like $100 or less on the vast majority of stuff I was buying. And then when I started full time in September, I set aside about $5,000 to buy inventory. But that's because I was looking to quickly make a full time income out of this.
Okay. At what point, do you think, hey, this might be a feasible, you know, escape path from my job? Like at what point are you like, hey, I could really make a go of this?
Yeah. So it's probably shortly after I started working, I kind of realized the working world wasn't for me. And then I looked into selling online a bit more and kind of upped my efforts a little bit. So I didn't, to be perfectly honest, when I quit my job, I was not 100% certain this was going to work. I just knew it was something I wanted to try.
Okay.
And
what was your income level from it at that point?
From selling online?
Yeah.
I was probably close to $1,000 a month for about the 3 to 4 months in a row before I quit my job. So it was enough to kind of scrape by if I had to, but
okay,
it was definitely not enough to get by on for an extended period of time.
Okay, but you figure, hey, I've got an extra 40 hours a week to devote to this. I'm gonna make a run at it.
Absolutely.
And since then, things have been good?
Yeah, things have been really good. On my blog, I share all my financial results, and I think my first month I made like $2,000 profit, and then November was my second month full time. That was about $5,000 profit, and December was just, it kind of blew my mind. But I made almost $9,000 profit in December.
Christmas season on Amazon is unreal.
Yeah, it's out of the
world. If you can get in on just a tiny piece of it, that's awesome.
Yeah, if you're going to sell online one time of the year, I would look into November and December. And then since then, I think January through now, I think I've been in the $4,000 to $7,000 profit per month. So it's been pretty solid, and I'm very happy with it.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm excited for you.
Yeah, thank you.
So, you know, the whole arbitrage thing is kind of fascinating to me, because it's like you kind of figure, you know, with the internet, right? Like the price is the price. Like I don't expect local stores to be able to, you know, hold some crazy margin if Amazon's not selling it. Or it's like, if they're like, what happens when the stores get in the game? They're like, you know, what happens when, you know, the owner of Target or the, you know, the manager of whatever local thing is like, hey, instead of putting this on markdown and taking a huge hit on it, why don't we just ship it off to Amazon? Like these guys coming in scanning all our stuff do.
Right. Yeah. So that is a concern. And I guess for now, I think that's not Target's core business model. They know the value of their shelf space. And to them, it's more valuable to just get this stuff out the door and get whatever cash they can for it than have to worry about dealing with the back end fulfillment of Amazon. And honestly, I don't know if Target and some of these other large retailers would want to use the Amazon program, because they would be supporting Amazon in making them a good amount of fees and money. And they're people go into Target, scan items, and then buy it on Amazon because it's cheaper. They're kind of supporting their hugest competitor.
It's true. Maybe that wasn't a great example.
No, but it's a very valid question. And yeah, I mean, the long-term sustainability of this it's something I wonder about at times, but I don't see it going away anytime too soon, but it's definitely something to consider.
Yeah, it's like, it's a pretty smart business on Amazon's point, from like kind of crowdsourcing their inventory. It's like, hey, we need stuff to sell because we've got a massive, you know, built-in audience of buyers. But how can we get all this inventory? And so it's a cool way for them to kind of crowdsource and you know, has created this whole cottage industry. People like yourself, hey, creating opportunities for people to make money on the side, to even quit their job doing it. Really, really cool stuff. So now what's a typical week look like for you today? Like how many hours are you putting in?
Yeah, so depending on the week, and what else I'm working on at the time, I'm probably spending on average close to 40 hours a week doing things just related to selling online. And that means going out to stores, retail stores, and basically scouting items to buy to resell.
Okay.
And then I'll do that probably 2 to 3 days a week. And then it'll take me another day or two per week to process those items and get them all shipped off to Amazon. And then in addition to that, I also I'm sourcing for deals online, looking into other inventory sources, and kind of just looking for, so like there is risk in retail arbitrage. So I think my longer term play is to move into more wholesale. So I'm looking into more wholesale liquidation type sources that I can maybe get over and over again, or make a bigger buy and kind of up my game instead of buying more smaller items.
Okay, cool. I was going to ask, like, is there even any, Is there any, you know, sustainability and kind of like doing the onesie twosie, like, oh, I found something on an end cap, I'm going to make $5 off it, but I spent half an hour scanning different things to find it. Now, it's a different story when, like, somebody gave the example on another show, it was like toilet wands or something, right? Like, I've found these things, they were selling for $20 and I bought them for $2.50 a piece. And so I've just like filled my entire cart with them. It's like that, I get really excited about that because it's like, okay, you know, that, right. You know, it multiplies, it's, and that's really cool. But yeah, I don't know. Like, so what would be like, are there any resources you want to share for like kind of finding and stepping up your game and going the wholesale route?
Yeah. So I just placed my first wholesale order. There's a website called thriftingforprofit.com and they also do a podcast and they have quite a bit of information just about wholesale and how to get started on wholesale. So that might be a decent place to get started. Honestly, what most people are going to tell you to do is find a product you want to sell, reach out to the manufacturer and say, I want to sell your product. And then it sounds like the conversion rate for most people is between about 10 to 20% on the number of wholesalers they reach out to. So it's not great, but that's kind of, you kind of just have to get out there, beat the pavement and find items to sell.
What's to stop Amazon from doing that same thing?
That is a good question. So I think Amazon's business model, in my mind, they like having the inventory risk on someone else. So anytime they can, because they make a good chunk of money on referral fees from every item that they sell. So anytime that they can put the inventory, the risk of first the upfront cost of paying for the inventory, and then the risk of that inventory selling, and then the risk of that inventory being returned onto someone else, they will do it. And in exchange, they just collect a commission for when the item sells. So yes, Amazon could do it, but the problem from their standpoint is they would need a huge amount of capital, and then they would, well, not that they don't have it, but they would be assuming a good amount more risk of these items actually selling as well. So they could do it, though.
You bring up a couple really good points there. First is inventory. So what's your, you know, what's your garage look like? Is it stacked to the rafters with stuff?
Yeah. So the garage, I don't have a huge garage. It's pretty full. The house is somewhat taken over as well. The basement's pretty full. It's getting a little bit ridiculous. I'm probably at the point of looking into a warehouse in the somewhat near future. And then I actually... I haven't posted this yet, but I took a video of my house probably a month ago, just showing kind of what doing FBA full time does when you have stuff sitting everywhere. And I'm going to plan on posting that in the somewhat near future.
So how long do you sit on the inventory? Somebody else made it sound like, hey, I'm going to go buy it, then I'm going to ship it off to Amazon pretty much right away. But it sounds like there's some organization and stuff that has to go on before it gets sent off.
Yeah, in a perfect world, you would send it all out right away. But the going out and finding the deals is more fun than shipping it in. So that's part of the problem. And then realistically, shipping is the bigger the shipment you do, the more efficient it is, like the less time you spend boxing your stuff up. So I like to do like 2 or 3 days of buying in a row so I have a good amount to ship in, as that's more efficient for me than going out and buying and then shipping that batch in and then
repeating.
So
do they pay for shipping or do you have to pay to ship it to them?
You pay to ship it in. You do get their UPS rates, so you get a really good shipping rate, but you are paying for it.
Okay. But the app calculates that into it?
Yeah, it calculates pretty much everything you need into the equation.
Okay. Yeah, because like every time I go to the post office or wherever, it's like, shipping is expensive. So, you know, that's great that you can tap into, you know, Amazon's buying power on that stuff and then kind of do some economies of scale and kind of batch processing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Do you see other people in the stores, like as this becomes more and more popular, like do you see other people scanning the end caps and stuff trying to do the same thing?
I think I've only seen someone specifically doing this probably about 2 times in the store that I was pretty sure that they were doing the same thing. I probably should have just approached them and just, I don't know, chatted with them about selling online, but
yeah, you got a new website reader out of the whole deal.
Yeah, I probably should have, but then, I should have. Hindsight's 2020.
So yeah, that's one fear I have in this business is, you know, at what point does it get overplayed? Like, you know, and maybe we're doing it a disservice by talking about it on a podcast, But it's an interesting opportunity in that, like, the more people that are into it, the harder it becomes to source stuff, right?
Yeah, because I would say, like, the clearance items are the low-hanging fruit in this business. So, yeah, the more people looking for them, the harder it's going to be to find them. But the more you do this, the more opportunities you find, because there's regular priced items that I buy regularly and am able to sell for profits. And then, so the other piece of this puzzle is the number of buyers on Amazon is increasing every day as well. Maybe not at a proportionate rate to the number of sellers, but the Amazon's by no means reached its peak in terms of buyers. So the demand is only increasing for the items on Amazon, which is a good thing. But yeah, it's pretty easy to get started and low barrier to entry. So that is somewhat of a concern, but I don't know. From what I've seen so far, the deals are still out there, and it's going to take a decent amount of time before they dry up.
Right, right. Now, that makes sense. The other point you brought up a moment ago was after inventory was regard to returns. Mm-hmm. So so people buy through Amazon, but does it say, like, you know, Ryan's wholesaling company or something, like, on the box, or what? How does it appear to the customer, and then what happens when they want to return something?
Sure. So to the customer, it would show up in a box exactly the same as if they bought it from Amazon.com themselves. Inside, there would be a packing slip that says the item they bought, and that's where it would say my store name on there.
Okay.
If they want to return it, though, they just tell Amazon, hey, I want to return this. Amazon will send them, depending on the reason for the return, they'll either send them a prepaid shipping label, which will get billed to you, I believe, and then the customer will pay for the return if they didn't like it or something like that. And then you get the item back and you get charged a small fee for the return, and the customer gets refunded out of your account. So it's basically the same. It's essentially the same as if you shipped the item to the customer directly to the customer, they want to return it and they send it back to you. It's just Amazon is the gatekeeper for if they can return it or not.
But they send it back to the warehouse. They don't send it back to your garage.
Yeah, they send it back to the warehouse, and then Amazon will check it for you to see if it's possible to sell it again. And then if it is, they'll just put it right back into your inventory. If not, they will tell you you have to get it sent back to you, which costs 50 cents.
Oh, okay. So, not terrible. What kind of, do you have any data or percentages on, like, what gets returned?
Yeah, my return rates have been about between 2 and 2.5%.
Oh, really, really low. Okay.
Yeah, people kind of worry about it, but yeah, it's been a very, very small percentage. And most of those returns I've been able to sell again and still at a profitable price. So okay. I wouldn't let returns deter anybody from this.
Okay. Now that's one concern over, like, you know, running a drop shipping business or anything. It's like, oh, I don't want to deal with the headache of the returns and that stuff, or any kind of e-commerce thing where it's like, well, what happens when I deal with this? But that's a really, you know, a really low percentage. So that's cool to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess the first step would be, you know, sign up for your seller account, get the app, either the Profit Bandit app or the Scan Power app. Scan Power must be very good; it's 4 times the price.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Or just take a spin with the Amazon free app if you're on iPhone.
Yeah, and you could use, so if you're on Android, you could use the Amazon app that's designed for buying. It's just called Amazon Mobile. So it's not quite as convenient, but you can get to all of the information you would need using that, and it's free.
Okay, cool. So if people want to, I guess if you only had an hour a week, like when you think back to when you're doing this part time, mm-hmm. how do you spend that time to make this thing work and make it grow?
Yeah. So I would start by, like you're saying, I would get an app. I wouldn't buy Profit Bandit or Scan Power to start. I would either use the Seller mobile app if you're on iPhone, or an Amazon mobile app that's designed for buying if you're on Android. But if I just had an hour a week, I would probably go into whatever store is closest to me, be that a thrift store, a retail store like Target, Walmart, and just look for anything that you think might have value. And if it's a retail store, I would go to the clearance sections and just scan those items and find whatever you can to sell. So for me, if it was me, I would spend that full hour that you have week one looking for items, and hopefully you do find a few. And then if you have enough to ship in, say you have more than 15 items, I would send those in to Amazon FBA. If you don't yet, I would spend the hour the following week looking for more items to sell. And then once that has got you 15, 20 items, something like that, I would send those in to Amazon using your 1 hour a week the following week. So I would say if you went out to the stores for 2 weeks in a row and spent an hour each time, you could probably find a few items to resell, and you could probably get to the point of sending in a box. And I would try to send in a box as early as possible, because then you can see if items are going to sell. And if you see some things sell, it kind of gets you some momentum.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting to have to be making sales. Like that's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun once money starts showing up.
Does it have to be like branded merchandise? I guess you know, I'm still trying to think of like what I would scan in the store. Like if it's just some no name thing, like it's got to have a barcode. It's got to be something searchable, I guess.
Yeah. So if I'm going to Target, I mean, ideally, yeah, it's a name brand. I see Fisher Price. I see a board game like Monopoly or something like that at a very low price. Those are going to catch my eye and something that's going to likely come with in the cart. Anything that you recognize, I would definitely scan. And it is hard going into the store the first time and just saying, hey, I'm going to buy something to resell, because you don't know exactly what you're doing. But really all you're doing is scanning items and comparing the price to online. And it's not rocket science, and you kind of just have to try it out, and odds are you're going to find something.
Someone compared it to cold calling. Like maybe you only have a 1% or 2%, you know, take rate, but it can be rewarding after the hustle. Do you find yourself like, I typically will scan, 25, 50 items, 100 items before I get a hit? Or are you getting better like over time? Do you get better at knowing what to scan?
Yeah, I like that comparison to cold calling, but
far less awkward, far less painful than doing it.
Yeah, you don't hear the click on the other end of the line. So I would say when I was first starting off, I would probably scan, 40 or 50 items for everything that I would buy. Now I know a little bit more what I'm looking for, so it's probably more like I buy one out of every 10 to 15 things that I scan. And certain items I don't even need to scan anymore. I just know if I see them at a certain price, I can buy them.
Okay.
So yeah, you definitely learn as you go along, and you get quite a bit more efficient.
Okay, no, that's really good. I just wanted to bring that up because I want people to go through there and, scan the first, five things and be like, give up. This is not for me. This is not working. This is garbage. There's nothing to sell here. So it might right. just know that it might take a few tries to get it all going.
Definitely. Yeah. Stay persistent.
Awesome. Ryan, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing all this wisdom. This is, like I said, just a fascinating business model, and so excited that you've been able to make it a full-time business. Everyone, check him out at onlinesellingexperiment.com. Check out all the the monthly reports, really, really in-depth stuff there. And Ryan, we'll wrap up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Yeah. So first of all, thanks for having me, Nick. It's been a lot of fun. So my number one tip for the Side Hustle Nation is about your mindset. So if there's something that you want to do, don't list reasons why something can't work. Ask yourself, how can I make this happen? So most people's reaction when they say, hey, I want to sell online, or hey, I want to start this new business, I want to create this product, their gut reaction is to list reaction or reasons why something won't work. Instead, I think a better way to do it is to ask yourself, how can I make this happen? And often when I look at things in this way, it opens up a lot of possibilities.
I love it. Thanks so much, Ryan. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. I'll talk to you later.
I'm so glad that Ryan brought up that mindset question at the end of the call. Instead of thinking, why won't this work? Think, what can I do to make it work? How can I make this happen? How can I make this a reality? And I don't know. I don't have the answer, but I think it's an excellent question to start from. Maybe you end up working backwards from the end goal until you have that very first step, that very next step that you need to take. Now, if you want to be selling $1,000 a month online, that means you're first going to have to sell 100, which means you're first going to have to sell 10, which means you're going to have to create a seller account, download the app, go scouting for products to sell. Like, let's boil it down and hustle on. That's what we do. So thank you so much for listening. I'm so grateful to have the chance to spend some time with you each week. So until next time, let's go out there, make something happen, and I'll see you next week in another edition of The Side Hustle Show. Peace.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.